Monday, the 15th of August. Dr. Bill Deagle joins us this hour. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to put as much into it as we possibly can. All right, Bill, welcome back, and we can start, I guess, with Fukushima and kind of wrap that up, and then we're going to jump into the smart meter thing, because Bill has some amazing things to put on the table for all of you. And I do hope you've noticed at Rents.com the smart meter story right up near the very top of headlines. It's also in the smart meter featured story box. There is no federal mandate, folks. They cannot come onto your property under any federal law and put those meters on your house, on your business, on your apartment. There's no federal mandate. Marty Oakley has done all the research. She's put the laws and regulations up there. You can print them out, take them to your local utility, and say, stay off my property, keep your smart meters. Boy, if they put them on and you succeed in getting them to take it off, they're going to try to make you pay about $130, $150 bucks a year, plus an origination fee of maybe $30, $40 bucks to have somebody come out and take the meter off. It's outrageous. Go ahead, Bill. Hi.
Hi. Actually, I became very aware of the smart meter thing just literally a short time ago and hadn't realized that they had actually swapped out my meter and discovered that it had been done without my notification last November.
Yeah, let's go right into smart meters.
Can you hear that sound in the background?
Yes.
Hear that? Rattle.
Let's explain to people what that is. Now, this is really, really something, folks. Pay attention. Yeah. Go ahead,
okay.
Bill.
The device I have is from Germany. It's a smog meter. It's the highest quality meter you can get. It measures between 800 megahertz and 2500 megahertz.
That's cell phone radiation
frequencies. Cell phone meter, yeah. And the meter outside says FCC 3 watts. Now, the most power that I'm allowed to transmit by the exclusion of the FCC is 0.01 watts, right?
0.01, I got it.
0.01. So they're allowed to transmit a 3 watt, and it's actually in the same frequency range. And when I called up Jim Turman from San Diego Gas and Electric, he said, well, they are only, they're a mesh network, but they might be potentially connected up to 6 meters. And they only transmit twice a day. I said, well, you're mistaken.
Twice a day, folks. That's what they told Dr. Bill Deagle.
You can hear this rattling on in the background here. Can you hear that?
Yep.
It's going over a limit, which means it's over 2,000 microwatts per square meter, and it's doing it roughly every 6 to 8 seconds.
Okay, that's not twice a day, ladies and gentlemen. Every 6 to 8 seconds around the clock, Bill Deagle's 3-watt smart meter is emitting microwave radiation.
On the other side of a wall, 10 feet from my desk where I broadcast. Now, I'm not just a little mad because I'm an expert on electromagnetic radiation. And I had no idea they had put this thing here or advised me what was going on. And when I started doing my own investigations, finding out things like this law that you mentioned, that Marty Oakley mentioned, looking into the research on it, so I obtained all these electronic devices to actually scan and find out how bad it is. And it's far worse than you can imagine. It's like, if there's 1,440 minutes in a day, and this is going off, say, anywhere from 8 to 10 times an hour, it's potentially as much as 14,400.
No, 8 to 10 times a minute.
Yeah, a minute, yeah, a minute. 8 to 10 times a minute. It's going up somewhere around 14,400 times per day. And you can hear it rattling via background because I have it pointed directly at the meter on the other side of my wall in my studio.
So you're reading this from inside your house just to let people know.
On my desk. I'm reading from inside my house.
It's omnidirectional.
Yeah, this omnidirectional, and this special analysis machine, the HF35C, which is through one of our affiliate companies called SCMF, is directional. It's aimed directly at that meter, and this is what it's picking up. Now, to give an idea, if a cell phone is a candle, this is a raging forest fire of radiation.
Now watch what they'll do. Because they know you're on the radio, they'll probably deactivate your meter.
Well, it's still rattling away. I don't presume that confident. You can hear it still rattling.
Sure.
You hear it going off every so many seconds?
Yeah, there it is. Keep it up next to the phone. Let's just keep listening to it.
Yeah, you can actually hear it rattle.
Oh,
you
hear it
rattle,
clearly.
Rattle it.
Yeah.
So, now, let me explain what cell phones do. And I went through the literature again because I've done research in this some years ago, back in the early 80s. I was working with electromagnetics because they use the right kinds of wave fields in healthcare in Europe, all through Europe and Eastern Europe. And, in fact, in the early 80s, I had a machine from Holland when I was in practice in Calgary doing work trying to help people with chronic pain. And the right kinds of waveforms and low frequency can be helpful, just like, you know, interferential therapy where you're trying to break up muscle spasms.
Well, you're
like
talking about Royal Rife and
that's
and
right,
other
that kind
things.
Of thing. Yeah. But when you get these kind of waveforms in this frequency range, what they do is they affect what's called calcium channels. And they basically, to explain, one of the major effects they do is they make channels open and dump calcium into your cell, which totally messes up. Hear that rattle again?
Now, sure do.
It hits one, and what it means is over limit, which means, I don't know how it is, it's gone over the top of the limit on the peak energy for 2,000 microwatts per square meter. Okay? So what it does is opens up these calcium channels and dumps calcium into the cell. When it does that, the cell basically screams and says, what do we do next? And it actually jams up all kinds of enzyme pathways, can turn on genes for cancer, can cause you to have a heart attack or cardiac arrhythmia, can basically demineralize your cells. And people need to understand this. The most important thing in your cell is minerals. And that's why Dr. Carlo did research, one of the major researchers of the cell company, and turned on them, discovered that the number one protective against radiation is adequate intracellular minerals. When you get blasted with radiation, you start dumping your minerals. If you dump chromium and zinc, you turn diabetic. When you dump other minerals, you can't reproduce your cells, your stem cell population, your cells and your tissue start to deteriorate. You can develop accelerated aging, mental confusion, agitation, sleep disturbances, cardiac arrhythmias. I mean, you can go on the list of so long, I could be here an hour. Okay? Now, I take a ton of vitamins, thank God, so I'm more resistant than I otherwise would be. But I can tell you that I need to take a lot of stuff to go to sleep at night, a lot more than I ever did since last November. And I now put all the pieces together, and I'm suing the California Public Utilities Commission, San Diego Gas and Electric, and I'm inviting others to join me because I'm going to make this a class action against these characters. So we're going to sue Edison Electric, PG&E, and being a member of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, I have lots of contacts of the top environmental doctors in the world for electropollution, electrosmog, and these kind of devices. We're going to hammer these maniacs good. We're going to sue them for many, many millions, and we're going to set up a fund for all the people who have been injured. We estimate that 3 to 5% of the population are extremely electrosensitive. In these kind of situations, they'd be getting very ill. 25 to 30% under conditions become electrosensitized, and the rest of the population will take a little while before they get sick.
Now this, again, just to recap, Bill discovered the meter not long ago. It says on the meter, 3 watts. That's the output. The legal amount you can maximally transmit without an FCC license is 0.01 watts. All right. Now this is 3 watts. This is a big burst. Now this is just the electric meter. If Bill had one for the water and the gas, he'd have maybe 9 watts. We don't know. If Bill lived next to an apartment building with 100 units at the big junction in the corner where all the meters are, there could be 100 times 3 or 100 times 1. There could be 100 watts minimum being beamed right through his home, right through his body, every cell in his body, his family's bodies, the works, every time those meters activated, which is obviously more than twice a day.
Now, what happens is this is not just because it's not just a radio transmitter. Because it's transmitting out in this radial fashion, it's also, by the very definition, going to transmit it into the wires of your house. So your entire house
has to
provide cage.
Yeah.
And these frequencies are embedded there. Plus, all the homes around you are transmitting. And what they've done is they set these up as what's called a mesh network, which means it's not a direct connection to the cell phone or the return tower to Sempra Energy, San Diego Gas and Electric. And these can be connected to over 600 homes. And it's not just one of these. It could be what's called a super meter. I don't think I have one. Because we're in a more rural area in North County, San Diego, instead of giving me a 1-watt meter, without my permission, without advising me, they put a 3-watt transmitter there. You can hear it go off again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, none of that kind of scratch energy, it's like a pecking sound. That's pulses of very high energy electromagnetic radiation, and the same frequency as the calcium channels in my body. Now, I'm not just a little man. I'm hopping man. It's like somebody taking shots, and I can hear the bullet whizzing past my ear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy.
Mm-mm.
Okay?
And this, I would suggest, is probably fairly common with most so-called smart meters. You may not have a 3-watt meter, but it's in all
likelihood. You have a 1-watt.
Every report I've heard, Bill, suggests the same pattern. These things hum all night long.
They'll tell you twice a day.
Yeah.
You get this device. This is $429 for less EMF. There's a link on our website, NutriMedical.com. We have other. I'm also going to put up a protocol for electropollution. Now, the primary thing you need, number one, is minerals. And so we have a thing called Vitamineral Max, all the activated minerals. We also have Indiamies, which is the primary chaperone that brings minerals into your cells throughout your body. And then we have Magnesooth oil or bath salts you can get from the Dead Sea to mineralize you. You've got to get your mineral content up. That's number one. Number two, you got to stop the secondary free radicals in your body. And if you don't do that, these things are very much very akin to the same kind of effects of the ionizing radiation from Fukushima. Both tritium, which is being generated in enormous amounts because now that these coriums are getting to the groundwater table, they're generating amazing amounts. And what they do is they interfere with the water bonds around all the active sites of all the enzymes in your body and the DNA that literally is wrapped around water molecules in the center of your cell. It's not held together by a covalent bond. Yep. It's a water bond called a van der Waals or hydrogen bond. That's all it is. It's two helixes wrapped around water.
Okay, stand by, Bill. We have to take a break. Hold on, please. Back in a minute. You've been hearing the emissions. There it is again. From Dr. Bill Deagle's smart meter. Remember, don't just think of them as transmitters. It works both ways. Remember, you are in a cage of wiring, and whatever comes into that meter can easily be propagated throughout all the wiring in your house, emanating and radiating various frequencies that trigger in your body not only physiological reactions, but mental and emotional responses as well. Think about it. Be right back. And we're back with Dr. Bill Deagle, who again bought an instrument, and there are other instruments around as well. And you folks out there who'd like to participate in this lawsuit, Bill is going to structure it as it is a class action lawsuit, by all means contact him.
Yeah, I'll have it posted up on NutriMedical.com. I'm going to be doing specials every week. In fact, we had one on the third hour today with Deborah Tavares. Next Tuesday in the first hour, which is 12 noon Pacific, I'm going to have Deborah Tavares, who has refusedsmartmeter.com, bought Rob States, who has 3 Masters of Science degrees as an engineer, who's lectured on. He's part of the San Francisco Tesla Society. And Emil DeTofel, who is a doctor of dentistry and has a master of engineering as well, and a top expert. He's a director of Less EMF, the largest company in America, supplies testing equipment and protection materials that can block and absorb radiation and stop things like dirty electricity in your home, etc. So that special will be Tuesday in the first hour from 12 to 1. The situation is that this is part of Agenda 21, and people need to understand this. This device can be tuned to send frequencies that affect specific channels and specific tissues of your body. Now, the U.S. military have developed this technology to the point where they can influence specific ion channels and specific tissues and impart frequencies that can have harmful effects on specific individuals.
Uh-huh.
So people need to understand that these were weaponized. Scalar weapons were deployed in the laboratory we call Iraq in Gulf War II, and they were using devices called poppers. And the reason I asked my contact why they call them poppers is that because when we aim them at the bunkers, the Iraqi Republican Guard pops out of them because they release the fear molecule, and they literally crawl up to the Americans and beg them to turn off the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
they begged to surrender is what they were doing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, diabolical. And people say, oh, that's science fiction, Dr. Deagle. They can't do that. Listen, they had the printing presses at the so-called Fed Reserve going and trillions of dollars, like Dov Stockheim's $2.3 trillion disappeared in 9/11.
Now
they went to the black hole called Black Op Projects.
Yeah, disappeared from the Pentagon budget, and the auditors were all assembled in the Pentagon going through the records to try to find out how the Zionists stole that much money. And guess where that, whatever it was, hit the Pentagon, right where they were. All gone.
Exactly.
No more records.
Bye-bye. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Now, of course, the same thing's going on with Fukushima. they're putting a steel shroud around building number one.
It's not a steel, we got to be clear. It's a steel frame with some kind of polyester or plastic covering. It's not an actual steel shroud.
Yeah, it's just basically a, like a frame, and they're going to put
an I-beam frame. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's not the, like spider silk that can withstand a bullet or Kevlar or anything like that.
No,
this is something that if they have hydrogen explosion or a nuclear explosion,
blow it away.
By the way, yeah, it's going to blow it all to pieces. And these things are venting off my alarm, which, by the way, I found the best place to put it. I put my Inspector Plus on my wife's dresser, and one of the back windows of her bathroom is open so it can breeze right across to that dresser. And that thing is still jumping up and down in the 50s to the high 60s.
Really?
And then last week it got up into the low 70s for a few hours.
Really?
Dropped back down again.
Hold on. This is weird because the jet is still up in Vancouver and British Columbia. It's not even down there. So how are we? Where is this coming from? Let me guess. Is it coming from the southerly portion of the North Pacific Current where it splits at Washington and Seattle offshore? Half goes north into the Gulf of Alaska. The other half goes down the coast, so you're getting moisture evaporating from it and blowing inland?
It could well be. The thing is now that there's different layers of clouds and return air and all kinds of things going on where these particles are perhaps even being suspended at higher in the atmosphere and are raining down on us when different weather systems move in. We don't know because no one's collecting data. No one's collecting data.
Well, they're collecting data, but they're not going to tell us.
Yeah, what if they're collecting data? I put in contacts, by the way, numerous to the University of California at Berkeley, and the director there just recently got back from Germany, and so far I haven't got any data for them. But I'm going to try to bring him on my show, the director of the Nuclear Engineering Department.
They haven't been publishing much lately, by the way.
Oh, no, they've got real quiet. In fact, I talked to the director of nuclear the Nuclear Science Division of UC Berkeley, and I have a feeling they've been getting some kind of pressure on them.
Because I have a feeling
they're very, very remiss to return my numerous phone calls.
It's called grant money, folks.
Yeah, well, they're probably a little terrified that they opened up a very nasty can of worms, just the same way as the Goethe Institute in Frankfurt, Germany, and the S. Iger Lab in Barcelona, Spain, were the two laboratories, in fact, that I was trying to contact for the past 4 months to get further testing down at the World Trade Center debris, because I have proof from the U.S. Geological Survey, from the data that they presented me, their raw data, that there are numerous anomalies indicating that they used nuclear devices to demolish the World Trade Center, which is why, where the hell did the buildings go? They were turned to an atomic vapor. They weren't even in the debris pile. And the next thing that we have coming, besides all this crazy stuff with smart meters, is I have a ton of evidence that what I was told when I worked with Special Forces Dell in the mid-90s and worked off an Operation Top Off in Dark Winter, spent an entire week with Special Forces in St. Louis back in 1997. They're doing major war games on what I call nuclear 9/11, and it's coming. And nuclear 9/11 is orders of magnitude beyond 9/11. We're talking about multiple city blocks blown up with good-sized nukes, not little suitcase nukes. We're talking about container nukes that can take out the entire core of large cities like Chicago or Los Angeles.
Right. All right,
people say, oh, that's exaggerating. I said, well, we had Napolitano come with an excuse that she can't now properly, that their testing modules and equipment don't work to stop these containers are radioactive. They're not even going to break the seals or walk in with a handheld radiation detector.
Right.
They're doing nothing.
Not a thing. No.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's one way to phrase it. Hold on, be right back with Dr. Bill in just a couple. Okay, back with Bill Deagle. And again, I'd like to draw your attention to the article, very well researched, very carefully written, by Marty Oakley. It is up there in the headlines right near the top of Rents.com, and it tells the story about how the feds do not have a mandate to come onto your property and put a smart meter on your residence, on your office, on your business building. It's not there. Read it. It's all in black and white. Print it out, and by all means, use it. The story is entitled Proof: Feds Cannot Force Smart Meters on Americans. It's right there. And Bill,
absolutely.
Yeah.
what I'm doing is actually putting together my lawsuit. I'm going to post each of the documents on my website so people can use it as a template. I talked to an electrical engineer from Virginia earlier today who's going to use it to file in his state, and he wants to file a class action in his state.
So we should have one in every state, obviously.
Every state. We need also have other countries. We're starting to get calls and emails from Australia and South Africa and Europe all over the place. People freaked out by this and realizing this is a major health challenge. I mean, cell phone is like a candle. This is a burning, raging forest fire. That's how bad it is.
Well, you're hearing the thing go off. These are bursts of microwave energy, all right? Radiation. Right through Bill, right through his house, right through everyone in his house, his neighbor's house. It goes for all the 3 watts. We'll push that at least a couple of miles.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably transmit at least 5 miles to their, quote, download center. And the fact is, how many cell phones, how many of these smart meters are meshing with mine and sending their data, their private data, on all their usage? And, of course, they don't even need to have these star appliances, which are snooper appliances. They can also just tell from the energy signature everything you do at any time. You turn on a light switch, you use a dryer, you do anything, they know that you have done that activity in your home, and they can log it right to the second. So these
remember, building a
database of everything you do. They'll even know what room you're in. You turn on a light switch, boom.
And if you folks think that they don't have the capability of it, let me remind you one more time. Every 6 hours, the NSA, just one of the information and lifestyle surveillance vacuum cleaner organizations, sucks up enough information on Americans to fill the Library of Congress every 6 hours, 4 times a day. So, yeah, they can do it all. They can store it all, have complete files on people that actually people wouldn't believe it if you told them. They just would say, nah, not possible.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. The fact is, though, they have the computing power that's beyond Star Trek. They have the Cray 4 array. I actually walked through it in 1994, but they built the Cray 5 array, and when Dr. Seymour Cray developed the gallium arsenide teraflop nanocomputer chip,
which led to
100,000 Cray 4s within 11 months, he was not only filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but they killed him on the north, going north right by Air Force Academy, and a car jumped across the freeway, T-boned him, and killed him instantly. And that, there's a huge barrier there, so I don't have any idea how they could possibly get across the barrier and kill him. That's another example of just how they get rid of SEAL Team 6. They want to mop up and make sure nobody spoke about the fact that they didn't kill, kill Osama. They killed a guy that was Osama-ish enough that they could justify another route with the Pakistanis, because their real goal is they want to invade northern Pakistan after they have a nuclear terror attack in America. That's their next game.
Well, they also talk now that NATO is planning an attack on Iran. We don't know. But the real funny part
that's
of this is
suicidal.
Of course it's suicidal.
Suicidal. If they do that, I will guarantee there will be a Chinese and a Russian response.
Well, let's hope so. Now, here's the funny part of the Pakistan caper, the non-Osama bin Laden murder.
Right.
Half the SEAL team probably was killed in the courtyard when their Black Hawk crashed.
Right.
And there were bodies all over, American bodies all over the place, according to the neighbors who went over and looked over the wall. The rear section did not burn. That's where the enclosed, the stabilizing rotor was. That skin on that helicopter was the most state-of-the-art, high-tech, stealth skin you can put on a flying object. It's invisible to Pakistani radar and most other radars. Well, that portion, apparently, of that helicopter, or parts thereof, were handed over to the Chinese. The
right.
CIA was telling the PAC, don't you dare, and the Pakistanis said, forget you, and they gave it to the Chinese.
Well, the new alliances, they got, 50-some JL-17 jets from the Chinese?
Right.
We're seeing the parties line up for World War III. And if they attack Syria, they will have attacked Lebanon north of the Litani River with the medium-range missiles. They will have attacked Iran. Iran will release the most advanced biological weapons developed with Biopreparat in Russia during 7 decades, which those scientists traveled to Iran to get paid because they were starving after Glasnost and Perestroika. And I can tell you, if that happens, the movie coming up next month called Contagion will seem like a garden party.
Yeah. Well, they have on the shelf and have had for decades all kinds of viruses and bacteria that'll do pretty much exactly what they want. They're genetic specific, they're racial stereotypical specific, and there it goes again in the background. These are bursts from Bill Deagle's smart meter if you joined us later than the opening of the program. He was told, promised, that the smart meter only transmitted twice per day. It's going off many times a minute here.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? Probably somewhere around 14 to 15,000 times a day, not twice a day. And I'm going to sue their energetic butts off.
Remember, each one of those noises you're hearing is a multiple of transmissions. It's not just one transmission.
Oh, no, this is a burst all kinds of data being compressed. And probably what's going on is what's called multiplex, which is different frequencies, we'll say 8 or 10 frequencies. And what they do is they break the data up into these data bits, and they transmit them all at the same time so they can transmit more data. So you hear the bup, 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 almost like a woodpecker.
Right.
And it's sending data out at different frequencies, each one tuned and affecting different channels for ion transport across the cell membranes. That's how nasty this is. And it, by the way, these bursts are much more dangerous and much more nasty than even
low-level
radiation.
State. If you had a stable emission, the body could actually,
it
wouldn't be good for it, but it would adapt to it, adjust to it. These bursts keep everything off balance. Everything.
Right.
Well, not a good situation. And again, I would urge all of you to print out Marty Oakley's article, use it, read it. If you want to join with Dr. Bill Deagle and his class action suit.
Yeah, I'll have it posted up on the site so they can see the documents.
Yeah.
They can contact me if they want to use this as a template for their state. I'm going to file pro se litigant. Okay. Yes, I'm going to help the other people in North California up fighting against PG&E. But I'm going to file myself in the state court here. And
also,
everyone out there needs to listen, whether you're in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, or any other country. They're putting these smart meters everywhere, and they're tied directly to Agenda 21. Population reduction, sterilization, and affecting your life. Now, I can tell you, these devices, left long enough, they're going to give you cancer. They're going to give you brain damage. They're going to give you heart attacks and strokes. They're going to cause all kinds of problems. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to demineralize your tissues as they screw up your genes and cause all kinds of horrible things to happen.
I'm amazed that, we've got to take a break here, but I'm amazed that the meter readers haven't organized yet. They're not union, but their jobs are gone. That's the game here. Tens of thousands of jobs more gone. Okay, back in just a minute with Bill. Okay, back with Dr. Bill Deagle. DB sent an article, it's up at Rents.com now. My fight against the smart meter. That's her war in Texas to keep this thing off of her house. And it's very interesting. The fights are similar all over. But do remember, Maine is being trumpeted as the state that gave the people the right to opt out. Well, not exactly. If you want to opt out, you have to pay $40, and then I think it's $15 a month. Month after month, year after year, you pay to opt out. They've already come on your property and put a piece of equipment there you didn't ask for. You didn't give them permission to put in there. And now you have to pay for them to take it out? What's wrong with that picture beside everything? So read DV's story, and under that is another one. It's an interesting article from a professional magazine. It's called The Smart Grid's Next Step. And I've got the cover there. DV sent this along. Thanks, DV. The cover and four pages that contain the gist of the article. And this article is not what we're talking about here. It takes an entirely different stance, the so-called mainstream stance. This is a very insidious worldwide plot. It's not anything less than a conspiracy to take total control, water, gas, and electric, smart meters. Remember, they're not strictly transmitters. They can receive. We have no reason to doubt that. If someone can prove it, I'd like to see it. You live in an electric cage with wiring all around you, and when those wires are carrying radiating signals, they go right through you as well.
Yeah, the other thing is they want to put not only Star appliances, but if they ever at some point put a microchip in you, your smart meter will track you in your home.
Oh, yeah, and your cell phone will track you while you're out and about. The magazine is Industry Week. It's a media publication, and it's the cover story. And just the picture is pretty scary. It's a city grid at night with lights, and it shows basically where all the smart meters are. And it's look, this is just total control, folks. That's all it is. Total control.
Nothing yeah, it's left. Called a virtual world project, and people don't realize there's been trillions of dollars. People wonder, where's all the money? Why is all this debt? Trillions of dollars have been poured into creating the Matrix, believe it or not.
It's not just a movie.
Purposely collapsing the economy, purposely going to release pandemics in the next few years, purposely trying to have nuclear terrorism, purposely putting the smart grid in there so they control every move you make. It's not about fixing the power grid. For example, they had a bill a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was passed by Congress, not by the Senate, to fix the grid so it could withstand, say, a coronal mass ejection or major, you know, extreme weather. It would have cost about $250 million. They spent in Northern California alone, just with smart meters, $2.5 billion. And all it does is just harass people to walk outside and look at your meter, go online to figure out when you're using your power, because we're going to hit you with a bigger bill during certain times of the day when you use it during what's called peak cost times. So per watt of power is going to cost you more to use your hair dryer at a certain time of the day. So you're going to change your mind to dry your hair hours later when the power cost is going to be a few cents less per watt. That's what they're talking about.
I don't think
so. So they're
going to
increase bills by doing this.
Totally.
Yeah, it's craziness.
People are describing a double their power bill already with the smart meter installation. Double.
Well, I'm switching over to solar panels, and I'm going to make sure that I have a Stesserizer to take out any dirty electricity. And each panel will have a microinverter so that if one panel goes, the whole system doesn't go. But I'm switching over, and I'm going to put, after I file the suit, I'm switching out my meter. And I'm going to put a cage around it, and I've got tags and so on, which you can get at refusesmartmeter.com, Deborah Tavares' website. You need to get this information. And, again, we did a show, we did a show every week, actually, on this smart meter. We did one on Tuesday, on the second and third hour. That's Tuesday the 9th, a special for 2 hours just on smart meters. And we did a special the week before as well on smart meters. So if you go back through our archives, you'll see on NutriMedical.com, you'll see lots of shows on this, and we're getting to real serious technical. I pulled up literature today just from PubMed, 94 pages just of abstracts of the effects of electropollution on the body.
Yeah.
94 pages just of abstracts. And I'm going to post the whole thing up there. So if you don't believe me, pull up and read the references yourself.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people won't believe it even then. They overdose if they'll even read it. Here's a little bit from this IndustryWeek.com magazine article. It's an electronic edition. Let me just read the first part of it. I'm going to read the kicker. This is how they are presenting it, they, to the world. This is their view. This is the other side of the coin, the non-human side, the corporate side. Everyone who experienced the great blackout of 2003 remembers where they were when it happened that summer. The blackout, which cut power to much of the northeastern and midwestern United States, as well as parts of Canada, brought home the reality that the electrical grid in the United States was outdated. Updating the grid will not be cheap. Estimates range as high as $2 trillion. But the massive effort will also present huge opportunities for U.S. manufacturers with a market that could reach $1 trillion. The race is on to capitalize on smart grid technologies. Now, that said, this is the inside view of it. Let me jump to the end of the article. This is where you often find very interesting tidbits. Okay. Jeremy Eaton, vice president of Honeywell, the Energy Solutions Division, says his company is focused on putting together a suite of products that will help utilities be more load responsive. Nothing on the demand side has to change for our technology to be effective, Eaton says. We're the head-in communication software that allows various systems to talk to the buildings and get real-time information. And you notice they're not talking about anything that really impacts the average user here. They're talking about mass information gathering. And they're using that term. Honeywell is embedding communications devices, folks, this is the story, into its thermostats and other utility-grade equipment. We want our utility customers to have precise control over the loads they're carrying. BS. They want full control over their customers. Some companies are even producing monitors for the transmitters themselves. Our attention is on asset optimization for people around the world. That's where our company sees the largest opportunities for growth. Now, what is asset optimization? It's one of those terms that nobody would average. The average person would never get it. Here's the final little bit on the article. As the focus for the smart grid continues shifting, many companies are turning their attention to building the utility infrastructure that will be needed to make the smart grid a reality. We're in a transition, says Honeywell's Eaton. Just building the consumer infrastructure doesn't solve the problem. And if we are not careful, there will be a backlash against the smart grid if the suppliers can't do what consumers expect them to do. Huh? We can't allow that to happen because there's too much at stake. If we do it correctly, we can be the leaders of this worldwide revolution. But we need to start thinking more seriously about it now if that's going to happen. So these people are serious about it, all right. Has nothing to do with you folks. This is all about them, and I hope that was abundantly
clear. Yeah, it's very obvious. They want to make sure you also, down the road, they'll pass laws that they can get another term of the Obamanoma, the tumor in the White House, so they can have smart refrigerators and smart stoves. So all of them will be beaming microwaves through the not only the wiring.
Your house will be a death chamber.
Yeah, it'll be a death chamber. It'll be like a... It'll be a real death chamber. You're walking and you'll be microwaved, slowly microwaved with your jeans unzipping, your van der Waals bonds not replicating your cells properly, your mind confused and getting extra firing patterns of neurons. You'll be showing off cardiac arrhythmias and getting disturbed sleep. And guess what? You'll be aging faster.
And you'll be taking more SSRIs than ever, folks.
Oh,
you'll get
of course.
Depressed and you'll go to the doctor and he'll say, you got to take this. You'll be medicated into oblivion and then put into your grave with microwaves as the pallbearers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's so over the top that people don't believe it. They think, oh, how do you come up with all these novel things every week? Well, believe me, when I went outside and started investigating this, I didn't want to look and say, oh my gosh, that one's not a 1 watt, it's a 3 watt meter. And of course, the FCC, neither Underwriters Laboratory has tested any of these devices. None of them are real.
Now, I didn't know that. None of the companies making these are UL approved?
None. And not only that, none of them have been tested with the current standards for radiation from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine or even the current Environmental Protection Agency standards. So it means the radiation standards they have, these devices already exceed them by a wide margin.
Environmental
and
perversion.
None of them are tested. So basically, they're committing a crime with an irradiating device. It's causing harm to people. It's snooping in your home, which is a wiretapping device, so that's why it's a bifurcated lawsuit. It's a wiretapping device. It's gathering data that they can sell, and they want to hold harmless so that they can sell this data to others. They also want to make sure that nobody can come back and sue them for maybe I got cancer of the brain or I got
Well, they'll have their time window of 5 to 10 years. Oh, their plausible deniability. Prove it. Go ahead and prove it. No, the work won't be done. By the way, in an article last week or the week before, I think it was last week, Bill, the final line of one of the paragraphs was about small startup companies using the data gathered by smart meters to go into various forms of business.
Oh, yeah. The business
right,
of
so they're going to sell
data
your data.
Gathering. By the way, this is the same kind of data that they were gathering when that drug rep docked into my office in 2003. I mentioned in one of the previous shows and threw a 50-page-plus document on my desk saying you're not selling our drug or our competitors. So the drug companies are culling data from the doctors, from pharmacies, selling data we haven't authorized so they can monitor what we're doing. So, yes, the doctors don't get a kickback, but they're being monitored. And if they don't behave, as she said, we'll just notify the Board of Medical Examiners you need to behave yourself and give the SSRI drugs and the cholesterol-lowering drugs to make sure your people all become demented and go into heart failure.
Not a joke. You're hearing
no
this
joke.
From
you think I'm exaggerating
doctor.
People no. out there? If you do, have a nice suicide because your stupidity will kill you.
It's terminal.
It is.
Researchers...
My patience with people who don't want to believe this and don't want to check out the facts themselves is finished.
Understandable, and we've long since been sounding the alarm, and those who don't heed it need to go elsewhere. Be right back. We're going to have another half an hour with Bill. Researchers at the University of California, San Diego announced something very interesting. We'll talk about that and more about radiation and radioactivity in the Pacific next. Okay, welcome back. Hour number three. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're along. Dr. Bill Deagle is with us tonight. We're going to take a look at Fukushima in a little more detail this hour. By the way, again, just a reminder, the smart meter material is all at Rentz.com for you, and elsewhere, Bill's site has it as well. So Marty Oakley is to be commended most highly for her diligence. DV Kidd has a new article up there as well. I've got the Trade Journal article up there from DV. I just read a portion of that for you. So there you go. All right, we'll be on this, as will Bill and any other responsible.
Oh, yeah, we'll be researching this and pounding out the science.
Yeah.
I'll be bringing on top doctors, environmental doctors, talking about the dangers of ELX. And these smart meters, as I say, are like standing in front of a flamethrower. This is this is orders of magnitude beyond a cell phone.
Right, well, cell phone is now given the average person's tolerance and resistance to this kind of invasive radiation. And radiation it is.
Yeah.
I can take it for about 20 minutes a day. That's all they'll give people. 20 minutes maximum is the so-called safe level. Of course, there's no safe level.
Right.
You may have weak DNA bonds. Who knows? All right. Now, California scientists from the University of California, San Diego, I don't know why this is just coming out now, but it is, witnessed a spike in radioactive airborne material in March following the meltdown of Japan's wrecked Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. Funny how this is a Bloomberg story. They picked up the word wrecked. I think I was one of the first to use that, but it's what it is. It's wrecked. Glad to see it. Researchers at UCSD observed the highest levels ever detected of radioactive sulfur in the atmosphere 15 days after Fukushima's operators cooled the damaged reactors by pumping in seawater. Of course, that's a lie. According to a study published today in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they didn't cool anything. Those things melted down. They were gone. Nothing to cool, really. They put water on top of them, but they were burrowing their way right through the reactor vessel, then the containment vessel, and they're working their way through the concrete, and they probably already threw it now, at least one of the three cases. So at any rate, radioactive sulfur. Now, that's kind of an unusual one. I haven't heard that before, Bill. What does that mean? Any guesses? I mean, we're not talking iodine here. We're talking radioactive sulfur.
Yeah, I don't know what to talk about with sulfur. First off, the things I'd be worried about that's not being reported is radioactive tritium. If you pour water on top of these radioisotopes with zirconium that's superheated, you're going to form tons of tritium. So that's the first one that's not being reported. We have, when we talk about radioactive sulfur, I wonder, is this just a red herring to kind of confuse this?
Sounds kind of snaky to me. I don't.
It doesn't.
That's why I wanted to ask you.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's like reporting on the fumes from a car after a triple fatal automobile wreck. The fumes have nothing to do with it.
Right. And not only that, sulfur is not what I would think would be a high concerning isotope. I'd look for things like radioiodine.
Well, of course.
Xenon-133, strontium-90, cesium-137. These are standard isotopes you'd expect to see, and you want to report on them. So the idea of talking about radioactive sulfur, that doesn't even
make sense. Yeah, I know. That's your guys down there at UC San Diego. I don't know what they're doing.
I think it's just another what I call diversion tactic.
Well, it's in a professional journal.
Non-scientific public that doesn't know what's going on.
Right, and they got it in a professional journal, so it's peer-reviewed, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now,
peer-reviewed by people that are closing ranks.
Behind the nuclear industry.
Yeah. By the way, I want to just go back to the smart meter for a second. People don't realize in Australia, they want these smart meters so they can shut off your fridge for a half an hour if they've got a peak energy need.
Exactly.
So the same thing, they want to ignore the fact that the Fukushima thing is literally cooking us internally and sterilizing us right now very thoroughly. So in a couple of years' time, when the fertility rate is 50%, they'll say, hey, we got an option. You don't need to have a deformed child. Just bring your gametes into, the government-funded, Obamacare from birth to unnatural death, and we'll make sure you have a normal, genetically satisfactory child.
Yeah, gametes are us.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like Toys R Us now, gametes are us.
It'll be a Walmart thing. Neptunium. Now, this is a strange one. Let me read this. This is from another wonderful website, XSKF. It's a great one. Neptunium-239, detected from soil in Itate Mura in Fukushima? This is a question. This is a headline.
Yeah, that's a transuranic. That would be expected. That indicates that the other nasty isotopes like plutonium, neptunium, uranium, etc., that they're all present there.
Well, exactly right. Get this one. Here's what happens. The neptunium 239 degrades. It degrades into uranium, and then it goes into plutonium. Okay, it turns into uranium 239, which has a half life of about 24 minutes. That decay. I got it backwards. Let me reverse this. Uranium 239. Has a half-life of 24 minutes. That decays into neptunium-239 through beta decay. Now, neptunium-239, the gamma emitter, whose half-life is about 2.4 days, decays into plutonium-239, whose half-life
really
is 24,000 years.
Right,
so,
and it's 100 million times more toxic than the most toxic known substance besides plutonium. Called cobra venom, so it's 100 million times more toxic.
There you go. Now, there are three jerks in Japan, the Plutonium Brothers, who have gone on television and are trying to con the Japanese people into believing that plutonium is no problem. You can actually drink it. Now, this is nuts. It's actually been translated into
German.
Well,
actually, these guys are just actors, and they're making a movie, and it's one of the low-budget films.
Of course.
They can't be. They're not real scientists.
No. But the idea is, again, it's this misdirection thing. It's just diffusing the intensity of the crisis.
Yeah.
And there's so many things happening over there. These little kids in Fukushima, they tested 1,500 kids. It was 14-something. Half of them showed iodine-131 in their thyroids. Half of them. The swimming pool water in the schools is so polluted, they can't drain the pools. But before they decided that, they were actually draining the pools and having the kids in there and into the bottom and clean up the muck and blah, blah, blah. So next thing you're going to see is the Japan Diet, their House of Parliament, will approve something in the next couple of days where they will be allowed to burn and bury radioactive debris. Now watch. Burn it. They're telling the people if you burn it, it goes away. Well, it goes away, but it goes downwind away. So that's stupid. And if you bury it, it goes where? Into the groundwater, and then it comes back up again. So it's all a tragedy. They're sending these people back into these areas they know are fatal, they know are radioactive permanently, and they're going to force them to live there and die. They're setting up in Fukushima province, or prefecture, whatever you want to call it, a medical team, a huge medical project, it's going to cost $500 billion or something, to long-term monitor these people. What this is basically an open-air laboratory to watch how people get sick and die from exposure to radiation. This is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's actually just a kind of a warm-up to World War III. So when they don't just have Fukushima, they've got survivors after a major nuclear blast wipes out most of the major cities on the planet. And they want to know how and who is likely to survive the outside zones. So they want to have good data.
No, these are medical studies on people who are being sent home basically to get sick and die.
Yeah, it's an open-air laboratory.
It's unbelievable. But it's all there, it's happening, and you just have to follow. I've got it covered every day, and you can watch it here, or you can go away and ignore it, whatever you want to do. We're not finished with it here. We're not getting a lot of it. Bill is reading it down there. It shifts around. We are about to go into the fall season, wherein the jet stream drops south. It'll go all the way down to San Diego and below at some points, move up to L.A., San Francisco, Portland, all points in between. It swings up and down the Pacific coast, up and down all
most
through the
most of the time, the levels are pretty low, but what's happened is it surges up for a few hours, and it doesn't need to be raining. What's strange about it is that before it was raining when it would really go high, now you can have most of the time it's in the high teens or low 20s, and then it'll surge up into the 50s and stay there for hours and hours. It's like...
That's
weird.
Really strange. I don't get that. Wow.
No, I don't understand it either, but I can see the data, and the machine's very accurate.
Well, the inspector's the best. I've got one,
Inspector
too.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really is amazing. So, Fukushima, you need to take things to detox. I have the detox, radiation protocol on the website, you need to do these things now, and you have to have filtered water. You need to have a greenhouse. Don't think, well, I've got a garden. It'll be okay. I don't see anything happening, brown spots on my leaves. You have to understand these radioisotopes are going to bioaccumulate in your food, in your water, and in you. And if it continues, say, for 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, the burden of people are going to die prematurely from every illness you can imagine.
Right.
The life curve, as Dr. Busby said, is shifted to the left, which means at 60, you'll look like you've lived 85.
Well, it'd be big business for cosmetic surgeons.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it's a good business for undertakers.
Yeah, that too. Back in a minute with Bill. Bags of radioactive ashes from the garbage incinerating plant near an apartment building were found piled high near the apartment building, just left there in Fukushima City. They didn't know what to do with this stuff. So, and they talk about, we're going to clean the cities. We're going to decontaminate Fukushima City. In 20 years, they say. I don't think so. Be right back. Okay, I'm back with all of you good people. Trying to bring you up to date here again. Here's a little more explanatory material about the sulfur, which was detected actually in La Jolla. UC San Diego scientists found radioactive sulfur, which is sulfur 35 is what it is, in the atmosphere that probably originated from Fukushima's number one nuclear power plant, Daiichi, in the attempt to cool the reactors by injecting seawater. Chlorine in the seawater reacted with neutrons from the reactors to produce sulfur 35, which was then transported by a strong westerly wind to Southern California, the researchers said. So there's another example of the foolishness of pumping all that seawater in there. But
imagine how little chlorine was in the water. To create that amount of sulfur, you could detect it across the Pacific
right.
Ocean.
And only 0.7% actually, they say, made it over here. The rest went to Japan and into the ocean. So we got...
Right, and of course, according to Dr. Busby, it's going to keep on being pushed up on the shoreline and go north and south. So the entire coast, the eastern coast of Japan, is progressively getting more and more radioactive. That's the entire coast, not just, down toward Tokyo.
Right. And we have... Yoichi Shimatsu is coming on in a few minutes from Hong Kong to talk about the Pacific. He's found some remarkable things going on there, and it is coming over here, folks. The entire West Coast, all the way from Canada on down, will be impacted by this. The entire fishery of the Pacific Ocean has been destroyed. No one's talking about it yet.
What we're going to be doing is going to the grocery stores, like they have radiation detectors in Korea right now, in the grocery stores.
They do. I didn't know that. That's good.
They do. But here, what will happen is people don't really realize that we're going to soon have to start taking a radiation detector when we go to a restaurant or go to the fish market to find out if our fish is going click, click, click. If it does, don't buy it. People say you're exaggerating. No, we're not. The oceans are going to bring that Humboldt current down along the British Columbia to Washington State to Oregon, all the way down to California to the Baja. Is going to get progressively more and more radioactive over the next coming years. More and more radioactive. And it's going to get into the fisheries, especially some of the fish like salmon that go all the way to the North Island of Japan and come back.
They do, and they come back. Remember how quickly, folks, early on, the EPA, the Environmental Perversion Agency,
exactly.
They pulled out and said, we're not going to test any of the fish, not one fish, from the Gulf of Alaska, because there's no need to. If that didn't tell you the whole story, nothing
would. The Environmental Poisoning Agency.
That's it.
Just like FDA, whose director, both parents...
This is amazing. This is amazing.
We're members of the Eugenics Society, the FDA. That's why when we look at this whole smart meter thing, it was actually decided by Agenda 21 under the United Nations for population reduction. What could be more clear? In the same way, they're not doing anything to stop Fukushima because their wish is granted. The population is going to become sterile, dumbed down, and die early.
They just took advantage of one of the stupidest moves in history, putting they've done it with many plants all over, putting them right next to the ocean. It's just a matter of time. Japan's the earthquake capital of the world. If it wasn't Fukushima, it would have been another one.
Yeah,
and we've
exactly.
been, how many bullets have we dodged here? The NRA, that crooked, lying bunch of louts, said we missed 14 times last year, a catastrophe. We dodged bullets. Time, multiply that by, 10 years for fun? 140 near misses? So we're on borrowed time here.
Yeah, we really are. And it's like building a house on a cliff. Eventually, it's going to fall off the cliff. And that's what they did in Japan. And that was TEPCO, General Electric, and they're doing nothing to stop it from destroying Japan. The Japanese people, if they have any sense at all, will immigrate away from there. The North Island is getting progressively more radioactive, and now they're trying to say they want to completely cover it up so that their economy remains intact, but in actual fact, Japan is finished. The reason why they don't want to say it's finished because the interlocking world debt, that it'll crash the world economy before they're ready to have a crash,
mm-hmm.
which they're, by the way, doing on purpose. It's all part of the game so that they can have a new world economy by next year. At
yeah.
the same time, they're threatening a war in the Middle East that they're trying to push. At the same time, they're not fixing Fukushima, and they wanted to install the Matrix so that eventually you'll have a chip in you, and your smart meter will monitor you in your own home, just like it'll monitor your appliances and turn your appliance off when there's increasing requirements because it's the middle of the summer, and it says, look, your refrigerator can go off for 30 minutes out of 5 hours. So if your food goes bad, too bad.
Oh, well.
We just had to turn off your refrigerator as part of the smart grid so that we could have enough power to, you know, to keep the system
yeah.
intact.
Remember, you won't have to go to the concentration camps, folks. The concentration camps have already come to you.
Yeah, exactly. They'll turn your home into a concentration camp.
You're already there.
And they can, by the way, they can embed frequencies and send them back to you through your smart grid that are tuned specifically to you biologically.
Make you happy, make you sad. You're already in debt. They'll control your food. It's all genetically modified. It's toxic. It's poison. And for those of you who say, gosh, we're tired of the doom and gloom, tell us some good news. Hey, we would, if there was any.
Do you know the good news would be one thing? If just 5 to 10% of the population woke up
would wake
tomorrow
up.
And decided they wouldn't take it anymore,
yeah.
the problem would be over like a bad dream. But because most of the population listens to this and thinks that bizarre, ghoulish entertainment by strange people who think these things up, like you and I, rather than the truth, and they're so cowardly, they would rather attack the messenger than check out the message.
Yeah, they do.
That's the problem.
All true. Bill, thanks very much for the report and the update and on your hard work with that situation down there. I can't even believe what we found thanks to you and that detector. Keep
yeah, it was
informed.
Clicking away quite a bit tonight. It wasn't
yeah.
taking a break.
All right.
Thousands of times per day.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Bill. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. Take care. Bye.
All right. All right. We're going to pause and come back and go to Hong Kong and talk to Yochi as we continue exclusively here for you. And he's been studying the Pacific Ocean and what's happening to it, and it's not good. We'll be right back.